This is Chris and Kira on 2FM.
Let me welcome to the phone, and I'm still going to give a round of applause. So Kira, let's give a big round of applause to a friend
what
of the
mean?
Show.
You're still going to give a round of applause.
Well, I'll tell you
are,
why
are
I'm
you
saying
tired
still.
Of clapping this evening, Chris?
I'm not tired of clapping. I'm saying still for another reason. Friend of the show and one half of the extraordinary comedy duo The Rubber Bandits is on the phone with us. Blind Boy, hi, how are you, man?
How are you, lads? What's the question?
Well, Blind Boy, look, I'm gonna be honest with you. And Kira, I was telling you about this just as the track was going on, I didn't have a whole lot of time to explain it to you.
And I kind of completely missed this last week, so I'm intrigued.
I'm gonna be honest, Blind Boy, and I'm gonna put this all out there. I'm gonna have full disclosure here. I have a bit of a man crush on you. I think you're a very smart guy. I think you're a very funny guy. I think there's a lot about the world that you understand, and I genuinely love talking to you. I think it is so much fun when you come on the show.
He gets excited
you,
every
Chris.
Time.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, he gets excited every time he sees a plastic bag.
I do. But there's a butt coming.
Go on.
Blind Boy. No, Blind Boy, no. Don't be laughing. Blind Boy.
Friday and sleep or what?
I am serious
about...
I've
got a man crush for you, man.
What?
I've got a man crush. There's a butt coming.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised. I've been saying it for years.
Blind Boy's making me laugh and I'm angry with him. Blind Boy.
Go on.
Blind Boy, you don't remember this because this is what annoys me even more. We were off last week, right? So
yeah.
Blind Boy texts me something and he says... This is true, by the way. Blind Boy texts me last week and he says... Can I have the head of 2FM's phone number?
Oh, Christ.
And I was like, no, Blind Boy, I can't give you that kind of information. And he said, no, I need the head of 2FM's phone number. And I was like, no, Blind Boy, I can't give you that information. Like, believe me, I would maybe in another context, but let's put it this way. The way I got the text, I thought it would be prudent not to give Blind Boy in his current state the head of 2FM's phone number. Do you
oh,
see what
God.
I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
So I erred on the side of caution and I said, I'll give it to you tomorrow, obviously deferring the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, Blind Boy, like, you've got me in a bit of trouble over this, all right? I'm like, I mean, that's why I'm kind of angry. Blind Boy tweets the 2FM account from his massive Twitter account with like 100,000 followers, verified account.
Oh, God.
He tweets the 2FM, this is while we were off. He tweets the 2FM account and says, the head of 2FM has to ring me or I'm going to be revealing some facts about the Illuminati. And I'm like, oh, Blind Boy, come on. And then he doesn't get a response, so he does it again. And I'm like, oh, great. So, Blind Boy, I just want you to know that you caused a lot of problems now last week with your threats towards 2FM and RTE management via Twitter.
Can I ask what was the thinking
Look,
behind
man,
it?
I've got RTE in my back pocket, so don't worry about that because... First of all, I apologise, right? I had a cup of tea, and I had two cups of tea, right? And one of them I'd left beside me, and do you know when tea it goes a bit mouldy?
Yeah.
There was a blue penicillium mould on it. I took a drink without looking, and it set me into an altered state of consciousness. And it got
up.
Me thinking, right? But second of all, I've got RTE in my back pocket, because I've seen things, man.
Oh, really?
I've seen there's Illuminati stuff. And I'm not saying any names, but let's just say I was in Montrose House and I saw Marion Finucane worshipping a giant stoat with a traffic cone on its head.
Okay.
Now that's, I could be speaking in metaphor. I've seen things, all right? So
okay.
I've got RT. Anything I can do, I've got RT in my back pocket and they know it as well.
So is that why you felt, I guess, so free and so able to threaten them via Twitter?
Yeah, I can do whatever I want, man.
Okay.
I've got lizard dirt.
Okay,
but did you not think, you know, because you're on the show with myself and Chris, that whatever about me, that Chris would get into trouble?
I know, I didn't think of that. I should have thought that, you know, it kind of trickles down like that, you know.
Blind Boy, you're a great guy. Like, as in, you're allowed to do what you want. Believe me, I'm not angry with you as such. I just think...
I'm just disappointed in you.
Yeah, this is it, Blind Boy. I mean, I'm just feel let down almost. Like, as in, you're a man who can do...
I wouldn't, if I hadn't drank the penicillium mould, I don't think I'd have done it.
Yeah, I think that must have been definitely it.
Look, RTE, 2FM, Radio Telecom Share, and Network 2, if we're going there, I apologise. I'm very sorry, all right?
Ah, no, you don't have to apologise, because I feel bad, like, even implying that you have to apologise, because you don't. I'm just saying that...
I don't think you need to apologise.
I erred on the side of caution when I got that message, because when I saw what is, and I won't give out the person's name, but I got a message that was, what is X person's contact details? And I was like, oh, Jesus, here we go. I'm getting this text from Blind Boy at, like, 9:30 at night. I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to end pleasantly. So... That's
yeah, you know what? He knows who I am now. He knows who I am now.
Oh, Blind Boy's been aware.
There's a rule in Limerick. If you've got hassle with someone, you go out into the middle of the road and you take your top off and you stand in the middle of the road and you shout their name. And if they don't come out, it doesn't matter. They know who you are.
Well, you did that, Flyboy. You like, did. In a Twitter sense, you definitely did do
maybe
that.
Maybe that's what me and you need to start doing in RTE, Chris.
Yeah, maybe we need to start challenging like the Director General and stuff and just roaring at him as he walks by
us. Going into the RTE Radio 1 office, taking our tops off. And shouting for the manager.
Kevin Bankhurst, do you hear me? Yeah, and just, I think that would be great. Yeah, and just roaring at him. Absolutely. That's the problem.
Well, come here. Have you any questions for me?
Yes, we do. We have a question for you as well. So this is interesting as well, because Kira and I were kind of chatting about this. And Kira, I think you have an interesting like prelude to this, if you get me, because this happened to you last week, didn't it?
And yeah, it did. So I was off last week and I was going to go. I'd never been to Amsterdam and I was going to go to Amsterdam by myself for 2 nights, right? Not for...
That's not a great idea.
Right, okay. Now, you see, here's the thing, blind boy. I'd imagine
watching you when you're doing that stuff.
I'd imagine your 2 nights in Amsterdam and my 2 nights in Amsterdam would be 2 completely different stories. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, my parents never tell me not to do anything, all right?
Okay.
And my father turned around to me before I booked it and he said, "Have you booked Amsterdam?" And I said, "No." And he says, "Kira, I don't want you going to Amsterdam on your own right now because of what had happened in Paris the weekend before."
Oh, Isis with their dodgy yolks, yeah.
Right? And I said... And I said, right, okay. I said, Jesus, he's never told me not to ever do anything before. And then Mum kind of said, "I don't want you going to Amsterdam on your own either. Just now, go and visit Amsterdam again." So then I honestly did feel fear for the whole week after what happened in Paris. And Chris then also... Chris has actual experience of being in a place when a terrorist attack happened.
Sure, wow. You see, my dad had run the Boston Marathon. And we were just after leaving the finish line. So believe me, I heard those 2 explosions. And sorry, I don't mean to bore people with this because I think I've told this story before, but I'll give Blind Boy a little bit of background. I was there when it happened. I heard an explosion. I went back up the street to see what was going on. A woman runs towards me hysterical. I ask her, "Jesus, what's going on?" She says someone's limbs just flew over my head and she wasn't joking. Yeah, it was genuinely very scary. And then, sure enough, very shortly after, a big crowd of people rush towards me and they're all trying to run away, of course, from the finish line. Pretty soon there's fire engines and police cars and everything screaming up the streets and it turns into chaos. But I guess in a weird way, the question is, because I think my opinion is yes to this, but I'd love to get your take on this, Blind Boy. Is terrorism winning? It kind of is winning.
Well, I mean, first of all, like I was only talking to a girl today, strangely enough. She's a Limerick girl and she's a photographer who was 2 blocks away from Paris last weekend.
Jesus.
She heard the gunshots. When things calmed down the next day, she went out to take photographs. And when she had to stay in Paris for a couple of days, but when she returned to Ireland, there was mad security in the French airport. And she was taken in for 12 hours because there was gunpowder on her shoes.
Jesus.
She'd gone out and taken photographs and they're basically gone screaming at her, "Why is there gunpowder on her shoes?" You know, just a young Irish girl. But is terrorism winning? It depends what you look at the goal of terrorism to be. It's
making me live my life differently.
It's the fear.
Like, I'm going to London this weekend and I'm shitting it.
There you go. Yeah. That means they're winning.
I
want to go to the British Museum on Friday night, which is one of my favourite places to go. I'm not going to the British Museum because
that means
on a high list.
Terrorism's winning.
But Chris, you went back to Boston after being there for the Boston bombing.
Yes, but I was terrified the whole time. Not
Were
terrified.
You?
I was like Blind Boy. I was uneasy the whole time. I'll tell you what. I was in London very shortly after. Remember those 7/7 bombings?
Yeah.
I was literally nearly having panic attacks on the tube. I hated it.
It's scary, yeah.
But then in my opinion...
It depends. It looks like... If you take it back to the IRA, right? The IRA's actual goal would have been, all right, we're going to put a bomb in the middle of London at Christmas... And what this is going to do is not only destroy an area, but it will affect the economy greatly because people won't spend and won't leave.
Sure.
I don't think ISIS even want that. ISIS aren't trying to scare anyone and ISIS don't have any demands. ISIS want World War III.
This is it, you see. That's what's terrifying.
They really, really do. And that's you can't... we know historically that the British government tried to make several covert talks with the IRA to go, look, do you have a list of demands? At least the RA had demands that were based in reality. ISIS are like, no. There's a place in Raqqa, or a place in Syria called Raqqa, and our book says that the final battle ever has to happen here. So come on, lads.
Yeah, I mean, see, when you're doing that, I mean, it is scary. And you see, it's interesting that you say that, Blind Boy, that you'd be scared to go to that museum. We're not scared, but as in, you'd say that it's prudent.
I won't, my actual plan, right, is the British Museum. I'm doing ITV all day. British Museum opens late on Fridays and I wanted to drink cans in the British Museum while admiring some lovely historical objects.
That's great fun. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a brilliant idea.
I know I'm probably not going to get shot in the British Museum, right? But I now can no longer fully absorb myself in the experience and enjoy it.
See, this is it.
Because of the apprehension and fear. So I'm just going to stay in my hotel room and have a wank.
This is what I'm saying. It's making you live your life differently. It's making you stay in a room. I've done things. Like, for example, I went to Egypt when I was, like, younger. But I would love to go back again because of how much I enjoyed it. I'm never going near Egypt again.
No.
Here's the thing. I always said that I'd love to see, you know, one of the seven wonders of the world or a couple of the wonders of the world. Egypt, again, that is off my list.
See, this is what I'm saying.
All the really good stuff, lads, is in Syria. That's the cradle of civilization.
But sure,
that's right.
They're absolutely destroying it, though.
Yeah, Syria is the birthplace of civilization. You're dead right, blind boy, and no one's going to be going near there. No one is going to be. I mean, it's destroyed. They're destroying not hotels. They're destroying mosques. Archive. They're destroying.
The bazaar is already gone, right? The bazaar was the world's first ever supermarket, the first ever market that's gone. It's done.
Yeah, I know. It's sickening.
That breaks my heart. Now, I tell you another thing. There's one. It's a part of myself that I hate. The fact that I, to be honest, I weep a little bit more for artifacts being destroyed than I do empathically engage with the deaths of the Syrian people.
Really?
It's something I have to catch myself on. It's something I have to bring into my awareness. But it really reminds me of my Western privilege, you know?
I hear you.
Who cares about a historical monument, lad? There's families being destroyed.
See, this is it. And I hear exactly what you're saying. And it's weird because in a way we almost place it seems nearly more jarring to us when you go, God, that mosque was 7,000 years old and they blew it up. What about that family they blew up?
Intelligence of ISIS. Where ISIS differ from Al-Qaeda is that Al-Qaeda didn't have a decent inside knowledge of Western culture. ISIS do. ISIS are very, very literate in Western culture and they know exactly how to hurt us. They understand how much privileged Western cultures value history.
Yes.
They understand as well, like, I mean, do you know the way that ISIS dressed, the black ninja thing?
Sure.
That's not even traditional. It's because the people, the Americans and the British ISIS people that are working with them, the British and American Muslims, they understand how to connote fear within Western culture. They understand, they look like Sub-Zero, look like a ninja. ISIS now have turned into a Batman villain. It's the Joker performing horrible crimes on high definition video and showing it to the world.
I know. It's
20
terrifying.
Years ago, that only happened on the cinema.
No,
they
I get you.
They are aware of our culture. They know how our own media terrifies us through the news. And they're taking a slice of that and going, well, I'll give you some of that, lad. I'm going to frighten the inside of your minds.
I'm terrified. Like I said, I'm genuinely scared of things.
It's legitimate concern, but I'm also hugely aware of how it's massively beneficial for governments to have a population in fear. If
of you've course
got a
it is.
You can control that population. You can pass. Just all we need to look at is the Patriot Act.
Of course.
The Patriot Act was passed in 2003 after the 9/11, and it took away a huge amount of liberty from everyday Americans, something that they defend all the time because they were terrified. It's like, okay, fine, if you think this is going to get rid of terrorists, that's what led to the NSA surveillance. They managed to do that through the loopholes that were presented to them by the Patriot Act.
Look, I was saying it to Kira, I was saying it to a few other people. This is our 9/11, and believe me, I was saying to a few people when it happened, I probably sound like a raving lunatic, especially on the Friday and the Saturday, this is a changing point. This is a crossroads in Europe's history,
yes,
what
it
has
is.
Happened. Well, I'm telling
is,
you,
yeah,
we're going to feel the effects of this 20 years from now. This is a very big deal that people don't even realise. It's not going to happen today, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but that changed a course of a lot of things and has added a new path that we weren't planning on taking.
The methodology they've chosen as well is like, we've kind of gotten our heads around bombs and you kind of go, well, if a bomb happens around the corner and grand, but five or six lads with AK-47, that's
something
a different story.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, how do you prevent against that? You don't,
you know.
Exactly. But look,
well, you can't hide there, you see, because they'll find you.
There you go.
A bomb won't find you.
That's it. Once a bomb is done, a bomb is done. If there's guys marauding around with guns,
There's an element of luck with a bomb. There's no element of luck with seven lads.
That's it. That's cold, clean assassination. And look, it's terrifying, but look, there we go. I think it's still definitely worth chatting about. And Blind Boy, it is wonderful, as always, to talk to you.
This is Chris and Kira on 2FM.